listening to audio from Grace Hills Church in Aliso Viejo, California. For more information, visit us online at gracehills.com.
Thank you, David. I don't know if you ever listen to the songs we're singing as you sing. Have you ever think about the words we're just proclaiming up to God? And this is the first time I think I've sung that song, and it talked about toward the end of it in the chorus, it was the anthem of the... Shall we sing it again? It was the anthem of the angels, right? And the anthem was about the triumph of the Son. And so we are to proclaim when we gather together in the midst of what we do sing truth about God is that God is on the winning side because he is the victor. And as we think about the anthem of the angels, you're wondering, well, if it's the anthem of the angels, why are we singing? Why are you singing someone else's song? Does anybody just think about things when you're in church? I do all the time. But I want to mention to you, the anthem of the angels, the word angel, if you were to translate it, it's a Greek word, angelos, and it was translated, it would be messenger. And as you think about anthem of the angels, God has called us to be, fill in the blank, messengers. Okay, there is the heavenly messengers, angels, and then the earthly messengers, angels, and we are those people. And so as we think about the message that we spread into this world, and we're going to talk about the world gone wrong today, we are a messenger of hope because in the end, who wins? God wins, and so does God's people. So we have a great message to get out to people that God wins at the cross. The evil one, Satan, thought that Jesus was defeated at the cross, but really, he said at the cross, it is finished, but his work was finished, and he actually won. And so this morning as we gather together, my name is Mike, I'm one of the pastors here, and we have the opportunity to be going through the Gospel of John. If you have a Bible, turn to John chapter 15. If you don't have one, just steal the one next to you, whoever's sitting next to you. Or there should be a Bible somewhere in a chair that you're sitting in behind you, around you, whatever it might be, or just listen on as I preach. But we're going to be talking about God's world that we now live in. And before we look at that this morning, I wanted to ask you a question. Where is the happiest place on earth? All I heard of somebody different. Some said a golf course, some said Disneyland, some said here. All right. Well, you know, actually, the world would say, where's the happiest place on earth? And they would probably say Disneyland. But I want to mention to you that on February 17th, maybe you didn't pick up this little nitpick here in the news, that at Disneyland, Mary Joseph and her husband was at the plaza, particular part of the park, and a tree fell on them. And when that tree fell on them, it was such a point that they had to rush out the first aid people to make sure how well they were doing, and somehow they survived that, and they were probably embellished with a lot of freebies at Disneyland. But can you think about it? Going to Disneyland and someone asked you, how did it go? Well, I got a tree fell on me. And you might be thinking, well, that only happened once. Well, actually, a few years ago, there was a tree that fell on 20 people. Two of them were park employees, so even you work there, you don't have a get-out-of-jail card as far as trees, and there were five children. All of them were sent to the hospital. None of them were seriously injured. But I just mentioned that is no matter where you are at, things can happen, and you're wondering, well, what's wrong with this world that you go to Disneyland? Oh, by the way, they made it clean really quick, but, you know, they picked up the stuff. But it is that things happen, and sometimes we're surprised by that. And this morning, I've entitled the message, A World Gone Wrong, because if you came in a little bit down this morning, I want you to be more depressed when you leave, right? And if you're not depressed, you're all filled with smiles, I want you to become discouraged. Now, that's not my point, but I want you to understand that Jesus, as we're in this part of the Gospel of John, has gone from convincing his followers and those who would listen that what it was said about himself and what he was saying about them himself was true, and that's that section in the Gospel of John in which the signs of Jesus are prominent. And the word for signs really speak of miracles. And Jesus did the miracles not to draw a crowd, but was convinced them that what he was saying was true, that he is fully God and fully man, and he came to rescue the world. And the reason he could say that is because he did things no one else had ever done. But after he spent this initial section in the Gospel of John giving out the signs or the miracles, authenticating everything about himself, he was now going into this perspective where it was going to all be about sacrifice. And that's one of the messages we'd rather not hear. Did you know if you're going to follow Jesus, not only are you going to be filled with his peace, which is one of the memory verses, or the memory verse for this month, but you're going to have some challenges in life. You know, that ficus tree might fall on you when you get to Disneyland. There's some things going to happen in your life that you would rather not happen. But in the midst of that, there is one who always goes with you, and that's the hope that we have. But this morning, we've got a lot to cover. And last week, I just want to let you know that even though I went a little bit long, I did not go as long as our president, okay? You know, the hour and 48 minutes, I got a few minutes left, all right? But my goal today is actually to end on time. So if I stop mid-sentence, that means I'm trying to hit that 40-minute goal. All right, so let's have a word of prayer again, and let's look at God's word, all right? Father, we thank you that you have so much for us to know about what it means to know you and to live for you and live with you and get the message out. And Father, we thank you that anthem of the angels, for the heavenly angels to proclaim that the triumph of the Son. That's our message as well. There's a triumph that when people come to the one who accomplishes so much and came to rescue us, it can be true for them if they put their faith and trust in you. We pray as we share this morning that in the midst of what could be said, that I would leave out the things that don't need to be said, and that we might focus on what's most important for us this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. I mentioned I've entitled the message, A World Gone Wrong, and the reason I say that is because Jesus was preparing his followers for what's going to happen next. And right before John chapter 15 and John chapter 14, and if you talk back to me, it's really helpful. I will get that 40-minute mark, all right? John 14 happens before John 15, and right before he ends that chapter, as we recorded in our Bibles today, he wrote these words in John 14 verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Now, why do people need peace? This is a very profound question. Because they don't have it, right? I mean, you don't try to give something to somebody who already has it. And he told them twice, peace I give you, my peace I give to you, because they were not experiencing peace. And in case you don't think I'm making this is an accurate statement, because in that verse in John 14, 27, he goes on and says this, my peace I give to you. And he says, not as the world gives to you, I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The reason he said you need peace and I'm going to give it to you, because their hearts were troubled. They were filled with fear. Now, when we're filled with fear or anxiety or whatever it might be, and particularly if we think the problem is on the outside, our natural inclination is to stay on the inside, right? If there's something happening out in the world, have you been reading about the world, whether it be in Iran? Have you noticed those conflicts going on there? Or you're in Gaza or Israel or Russia or Ukraine? I mean, there's things happening everywhere. And you say, man, I don't want to go out there. That's a troubled world. And when I'm out in the troubled world, I become more troubled. It's a fearful world. But then he ends that chapter with these words. He says, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of the world's coming. And the ruler of the world's coming is the evil one. And if you know that evil is out there, again, you want to stay on the inside. But he does make this comment particularly because the ruler of the world, the target was on Jesus. He said this, he has no claim on me. And then he goes, but I do as the Father commanded you, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. So living in a fearful world, fear that not only causes us to be overwhelmed, but we are troubled by, he says, look, don't hunker down. Get out there and be my messengers, be my representatives. And that word up for peace, it has to be repeated for his followers, because the world has gone wrong. And that's where in John chapter 20, verse 21, it says, peace. Again, he said to them, peace I give you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. So God's people recognize, we're not Pollyannish, thinking that when it's raining outside, that actually the sun is shining brightly. We recognize the world's gone wrong. We recognize the horrific things happening in Iran. We recognize the things that destroy people's lives. But in the midst of that, we have the message that can bring people peace. And even not only peace, but even joy. So
a lot to cover this morning, so let's move on. What's happening in the world? This world, what does this world need? This world needs some hope, desperate need for hope. I think it says or hope in your outline. And if you take notes, you get brownie points in heaven, all right? The world is desperate for hope. Secondly, the world is filled with hate, and the world is in need of help. Would you agree with that? You know, as you think about this world, this world needs some hope. There's a lot of hate out there, and we desperately need some help in the midst of all that's going on. Well, this is that section, and as we look at the Bible, and the Bible divided in chapters and in verses, those aren't necessarily inspired, but we've divided them up that way. And just to make a quick review from last week, you know, Jesus was saying to these who were filled with despair, filled with fear, filled with a need for his peace, he goes on and says, I just want you to know, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. You are the branches who need to be connected to me. And really what he was speaking to these who were familiar, his followers and those who were listening on, is that in the midst of a world that brings a lot of fake news and false news, if you notice it, we're still getting fake news and false news all around us, say, I am the truth. And even those of you who are surrounding me, I want you to understand, whether it be Israel or the church that he was establishing, you are the vine, but you're only a true vine when you're connected to the one who is the true vine. That's why there are false churches out there. That's why there are Jewish people that are far from God. Even though they were called to be God's people, they're only true when they're connected to the one who is true. And that's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father but through me. And we talked about what is God's plan for us is to draw near to the vine, the true vine. To be abiding in the vine, to be connected to the vine. And as David led us in a worship song last week, abide, it was also put out that we need to depend on the vine and we need to be connected to him. And as we think about being connected to the one who is the truth, the living truth, we need to recognize that there is a written truth. And Jesus said in a familiar verse in John chapter 8, he said to the Jews who believed, if you abide in my word, you are truly disciples of mine. And if you know the truth will set you free. But in that statement, what he was saying is like, some of you are hanging around, but you're not really abiding. You're not really connected. You're not totally depending on the truth. You're just around the truth. And we are often like that. We're kind of around it. We're listening in on it, but we're not fully connected. We're not fully depending. We're not fully drawing close. He said, if you abide in my word, if you connect to my word, if you love my word, if you want to obey my word, if you want to follow me closely, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So as we think about God's call for us, it's a world desperate of hope, and Jesus is the source of hope. But you're only going to experience that hope when you're drawing close to him, depending upon him. Well, that's last week, and I'm so tempted to re-preach last week in case I didn't say enough things last week. But then he goes on, and he says this, I want you to know that we live in a world in which you need hope because the world is full of hate. So let's look at what he has to say in a new way for us today, or in an additional way in this section. In John chapter 15, verse 18, he says this, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you're close to someone who's unpopular, pretty soon you're going to become what? Unpopular, right? And if you're next to someone that people hate, and you can think of that in the political world, if you're next to someone that other people hate, they're going to start hating you because you are identifying with them. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And the reality is, if you're not like somebody else, and you're kind of pushing into their life at all, they begin to despise you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have fully been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. So as we think about life, in any dimension of life, if you're ignorant of something, could that impact how your life goes? You know, if you think it's, I've had this experience, okay, if you think this is a 45-mile-per-hour zone and you find out later it's a 25-mile-per-hour zone, I didn't know, I didn't see that sign. Well, I appreciate that, but you're still going to get the ticket, all right? But, and what he's saying here is not that they were not guilty of sin. We're all guilty of sin whether we know it or not. Ignorance is no excuse. But are you saying directly about this? Because Jesus is the source of truth. He's the true vine. They had a little bit of get out of jail card in terms of, well, I didn't really understand who Jesus was. I've been with you. You have no excuse. I have demonstrated that I am who I claim to be. And now you are fully guilty of that. And in reality, as we think about God's revelation to a whole world, God reveals himself in so many different ways. In the beauty of creation, and the stars are in the heavens declare the glory of God. And as people are willing to take the truth that's been revealed to them, God will give them more truth. But what we do is we suppress the truth. We don't want to hear more about God because we'd rather do things like we want to do. We don't want to follow the one who is the truth and has the truth for our lives. And so he speaks directly into them, but he's speaking on to his disciples as well, saying, look, you're in a world that has hated me, and they're now going to hate you. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty. Verse 23, whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. That's an amazing statement. When you hear the message of Jesus, and this was when I first encountered this, I said, well, who wouldn't want to believe in Jesus? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, who offers a better deal? Who doesn't deal with what's wrong in my own life to make it right in my own life? And why do people hate Jesus? It doesn't make any sense. All he did when he was here is heal people of all their sicknesses. All he did was to take people who are broken and make them well. All he did was give them, here is the hope for eternity, and they rejected it. Why? Because they love their darkness. In fact, the Bible talks about why do people sin? Because they love darkness rather than light. They love their own sin rather than knowing what's right for their own life. And they rebelled against him. And because of that, they will hate anybody that's not on that same path that they're on. Remember when Jesus did the Sermon on the Mount? And he started his sermon with not an illustration about Disneyland, but he started with an illustration about blessed. Anybody want to be blessed? Anybody want to be blessed? And he had all these blessed statements. But some of them were, you know, pretty encouraging or attractive, but some of the things were hard to wrap your mind around. Blessed are those who persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you. I don't want that. And yet what he was saying, in a world that's gone wrong, I can make it right, but in this world that's gone wrong, until I come again, you need to recognize your life will really be filled with blessedness. It can be translated happiness, true joy. But you got to be willing to follow me fully. And so as we begin this message on a world gone wrong, we need to recognize that this world desperately needs hope, and the hope is one who is the true vine, and when we connect fully and completely in him, we can have hope. And what is hope? Hope is an expectation that the future is going to be better than the present. Now, I can't tell you what's going to happen in the stock market. I can't tell you what's going to happen in all these places that are war-torn. I can't solve the immigration issues. I can't solve the political issues. I can't rationalize all the things that have happened in the past and put a bow around it and say, you know, Christians have always been perfect. You know, I can't explain the Crusades. I can't explain the Inquisitions. I can't explain why sometimes Christians are filled with hypocrisy. I mean, I'm filled with hypocrisy as well. Why aren't we a perfect representation of Jesus? But I can tell you this, that Jesus is the hope for the world. In a world filled with hatred, we can be filled with hope and a message that sets people free. But what he was saying to these who were hearing it for the time that was going to happen really soon, where Jesus was put on the cross and then they were going to go after them, that don't be surprised. There's going to be conflict in this world. So we could spend a variety of time sharing all the things that have happened throughout the century. They've said, they being the people who like statistics, that in the last two centuries, more people have been martyred for their faith than the first 18 or 19 centuries. 250 million Christians have died simply because they identified with Christ. There's some hot spots in this world right now where we can't even identify with. Basically, when we get persecuted in our country, it might be, well, we're not invited into some social engagement because I don't know if I want to invite them. They're not going to have fun like we're going to have fun. They don't invite us into certain conversations, or when we get in those conversations, we get a reaction. They might look at us and they might say, well, they're always trying to put their values on our values. They might be saying that they're intolerant. We might get some of those social issues. But there are places where people are losing their lives because the world hates them. The word for witness, and when we are sent out as heavenly or earthly messengers and we testify of Jesus or we represent Jesus, the word for witness in the original language is the word martyr. And it became such a commonplace for Christians as they represented Jesus to be put, you know, in the lion's den. They were put in the Colosseum, or they were lit up by Nero as lights to illuminate his gardens, or they were, as the disciples were, some were dragged through their streets to kill. Peter, James were crucified. People were beaten to death. And as they represented Jesus, as they witnessed for Jesus, they were called martyrs. But as we think about our call is no matter what kind of oppression we get from others is that we have a message of hope. And we want to get that message out because Jesus is the truth. He's the true vine. And when people are connected to him and his word, they're set free. In a world that's filled with hate, we can make things that are filled with love because we have the message of the one who loves people deeply. But for that to happen, Jesus, as he's ministering to his small group, and if you're not in a small group, this is my place to say, get in a small group. That's where you get to share and pray with each other. Is that I want you to be prepared for what's next. So in a world that's gone wrong, it needs hope, and yet it's filled with hatred, is can we get some help? And this is what Jesus does in the rest of the text we're going to look at this morning. Where do we get help? And I'm a very profound preacher. Where do we get help? From the helper, all right? Well, who is the helper? And this is what we're going to see from the words of Jesus. We get help from the helper. And yet this didn't make sense because Jesus kept telling them, I'm taking off. I'm leaving. And they say, yeah, we feel totally different, capable when you're around. You know, you can take on anybody. When we're with you, we feel like we're in the majority. But when you're gone, we're not feeling like we're in the majority. We don't feel sufficient. And so they were wrestling with that. And so Jesus is speaking about the one who's going to be sent. And if you remember from a few Sundays ago, when he said, I'm going to send you a helper, he said, I'm going to send you another helper. And the word another is not another of a different kind, but another of the same kind. And as we think about who is God, there's one God, but within the one God, there are three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we can't fully comprehend that, but there's only one God. But there's three persons, and they're distinct, they're equal, and they are empowering us to be all God wants us to be. And when Jesus left, and this was the thing that they could not wrap their mind around, we're going to see it again, it's going to be better for you that I leave. And we'll see that a little bit this morning. But he is the helper. He's the paraclete. Which means he's the one who comes alongside us. And he's not only beside us, he is in us. So let's look at some of the ways that he helps us in a world gone wrong. Look at verse 26. But when the helper comes, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit, Francis Chan talks about the Holy Spirit as the forgotten God. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. But he's the one we don't think about. We think about the Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You've heard that prayer before, right? You know, we pray to the Father, all right? Now, and we're supposed to pray in the name of Jesus. Well, where does the Holy Spirit come in? Well, he's the helper that helps us do all of this. But when the helper comes, and when he's going to come, when Jesus leaves, whom I will send to you from the Father, and I got to say this for free too. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit wasn't around until Jesus left, but he was going to have a different role in our life. He was going to live within us. He was going to distinctly take up where Jesus had left off in terms of how he changed people's lives with his presence. And the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So we're just going to highlight some bullet points about what the Holy Spirit does for us and in us and with us in a world gone wrong, in a world in which we desperately need hope and remind ourselves that there's a better future coming and we can rest on that, in a world that can be hateful of us and Jesus primarily. Well, he helps us. And who is this one? The one who is the Spirit of truth who gives us the ability to speak the truth. Now, we could try to unpack this in a variety of different ways, but just look at what it says here. I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will bear witness about me, speaking, he will bear witness about Jesus, the Son of God, God the Son, and you also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. The Spirit is going to bear witness of Jesus, and he said, oh, by the way, you also are going to bear what? Witness. Well, how do we do that? The reason we're able to do that, because we have the Spirit of God who is the truth, the Spirit of truth, who will enable us to speak about the one who is the living truth at that time, Jesus, and he empowers us to do that. And we know in Acts chapter 1:8, later on when the church forms, he says, oh, by the way, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. So when we're in situations, I don't know what to say. What can I do to represent Jesus well? What could I have come out of my mouth? Well, just speak the truth. You have the Spirit of truth who lives within you. And so just speak the truth about Jesus. Who is Jesus? We've talked about it. Who is Jesus and what has he done? Jesus is truly God as well as truly man. It's Emmanuel, God with us. Now, whether you believe that or not, that's our message, the truth about who is Jesus. He's the living truth. I'm the way, the truth. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do that, even when we don't feel too powerful. And that's what he said. You're going to be able to testify the truth because you have the one who lives within you who has come to testify about the truth. Does that make sense? But then he goes on, and he says this in verses 1 through 4, John chapter 16. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And why is he saying, I'm saying this to you to keep from falling away? Because they're going to be very tempted to do what? Fall away. And we know before Jesus went to the cross, the women did a lot better than the men. Have you heard that story? Okay. The women went to the cross and then what? They took off. They were fearful about this. But he's sharing this with them so they're going to be prepared to what happens next. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. Now think about this for a moment. He's speaking to a Jewish disciples, his 11, and some of those maybe listen in on it. He said, you know, what's going to happen? This is not good news. This is a world gone wrong. This is a world in which they're going to hate you. They're going to look at you who belong to the synagogue, the place of worship for God's people, Israel, and instead of trying to get you to come to the synagogue, they're going to tell you what? You can't come. Just think about that. Have you ever told people, you can't come to church, I don't want you there? That's what they were doing. And not only was it, you can't come to synagogue, you can't participate in any part of our social experience as the people of Israel. And they didn't really associate with anybody else. So you got kicked out of the synagogue. You got kicked out of identifying with other Jewish people. You had no one to turn to. It doesn't sound like a good message, does it? But he's preparing them not to fall away. But he goes on and says this. Indeed, an hour is coming. Whoever kills you, they will think he's offering service to God. They're going to feel like, hey, I'm doing God's work by telling you can't come to the synagogue. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, and this is the point I want to make, that when their hour comes, you may remember what I told them to you. They will remember that I told them to you. Do you ever have a tendency to forget the things you ought to remember, or remember things you ought to forget? Anybody can relate to that? Man, I wish I could just get that out of my mind. I don't want to keep thinking about that. And then the things you do want to think, remember, you just can't seem to remember. Now, that's a longer story, and I think he was particularly speaking to the disciples who were to write down the things that he had said so it could be in print. In case you forget about some things God has said, you could actually look in the what? You can look in the book, right? But what I want my big point this morning is simply the Holy Spirit is the one who will remind you of what Jesus taught. So often, you know, you remember those little braces, what would Jesus do? We can kind of conjecture what Jesus might do in our situations, but what's better is what did Jesus do? Or wondering, you know, what do you think Jesus would say in this situation? You don't have to kind of guess. What did Jesus say in these kind of situations? And this is what the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind what you need to say in any situation if you're tied to the vine, if you're abiding in him. Remember the 11 points last week? Abide, 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 abide. My two friends came to me, and when I saw them this week, they go, hey, I remember your message. Abide, 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 abide. One of our members here was very encouraging, too. They remember what I preached last week, and they actually, because of it, they asked me, could you help me? I'm going to be gone for a couple weeks, and could you do something for me? I said, well, yeah, what can I do for you? Could you come to my house and water my artificial plants for me? If you were here last week, you understand. You know, a couple of years ago, I didn't know our artificial plants were artificial. I kept watering them until someone told me they weren't real. But okay, the reality is that Jesus wants you to know that when you abide with him, when you stay connected, you depend upon, you yield, you draw close, that one of the things you'll be able to testify of the truth, the one who is the truth, plus one of the ways you'll be able to do it because he'll remind you of what he has said. And you can remind yourself what he said by reading it, but he will help you say what you need to say. And just keep it simple. Who is Jesus and what he did? Jesus is God. He went to the cross to die on the cross for you, to rescue you from your sin. But then he goes on and says this, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. You're thinking, okay, God says that we live in a world gone wrong. And because of that, we need hope. And the reason we need hope because there's a lot of hatred out there in so many different ways and shapes and forms. And they said, okay, you need a help. You need help. Where do you get the help? You get it from the helper. And as you think about the helper, what's the helper going to do? He's going to help you testify to the truth. He's going to remind you things that Jesus has said. And then here, this is an amazing promise. He says, look, it's going to be better that I leave because the one who I'm sending you will be able to help you in ways Jesus didn't. That almost sounds blasphemous. How could the helper help in better ways or different ways than Jesus? Because when Jesus came, and this is the answer to the issue of, well, how come Jesus kept saying that the Father is greater than me? Because when Jesus left heaven, Philippians 2 is all about that, he did not hold on to the things about his deity to be grasped and held on to. He gave up some of the what they call the independent use of his divine attributes. You know, Jesus got hungry. Jesus got thirsty. Does God get hungry and thirsty? No, but when he became a man, he took on some limitations. Also, God knows all things. Jesus even said, hey, I, even the Son of Man does not know when he's going to return. Why? Because he had limited himself when he came here on earth. And not only that, God is omnipresent. He is always. You never go anywhere where God doesn't show up. But when he was here, he was confined to his physical manifestation. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he is always with us constantly. And so that's what he wanted them to remember. He said, you could not bear it earlier, so I could not go through that, but I want you, it's your advantage, I'm going away. So don't forget about the forgotten God. The Holy Spirit is always with you. But then he goes on and said, well, what's he going to do when he's here beyond helping me and whatever I'm going through? In verse 8 it says, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged. And so as we think about that, not only will Jesus do those other things we've already talked about, he's the one who will convince people of the truth they don't want to hear. That's how I've summarized it. Well, what do you mean by that? Have you ever had to confront somebody, maybe in a family situation or friendship situation, they're doing some things that are hurting other people or they're saying things they should not say, and you decide someone's got to tell them. Either they're deceived, they're not willing to admit it, and so you go up to the person and tell them, hey, this what you said you shouldn't have said, what you did you shouldn't have done. What kind of response do you get back from that? Not the best, right? People don't want to be pointed out what they're doing is wrong. And so when we think about testifying to Jesus, what gives me the right to tell people their sin is going to condemn them for eternity? What's right for me to say what they're doing is wrong? You need to recognize that really, you don't have to over-worry about that because it's the Holy Spirit that will convict or convince people of what they need to hear. Even though I don't want to hear it, the Spirit is helping people to hear what they don't want to hear. He says concerning sin. Well, what is sin? Sin is anything that does not measure up to God's standard. But particularly sin is here. He's talking about the sin of not acknowledging who Jesus is. In John chapter 3, any of you hear that? Remember that verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish, have eternal life. But later on in that passage, he goes on and says, look, God did not send them go into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. But he says, I want you to understand that if you don't believe in the one who's been sent, Jesus, you've been judged already. That's the issue that people have got to get right, is who is Jesus? That's the sin that's the unforgivable sin. That's the sin that will cost people their eternity. And it's the Holy Spirit that will convince people that that sin of denying who Jesus is, you got to settle that in your own heart and mind. And I wish I could convince everybody. And the Spirit does it, but sometimes people will not listen to the truth, but they're convinced it's true. My mind is made up, don't confuse me with the facts, and the Holy Spirit will convince. That's why when we testify, it's not just us, it's the Spirit that does that. Concerning sin, concerning righteousness. Well, who says you're right and I'm wrong? Well, what is the standard? Who decides what is right in this world? And that's what Jesus did. And when he was here, he was the standard of righteousness. And there are people who marvel at who Jesus is in terms of his example, how he treated people, how he cared for those who were needy, how he reached out to those people and no one to reach out to him, until all of a sudden his standard begins to jump into their lifestyle. He's the standard. The Spirit is the one who will convince people, you need to be righteous and you're not. And Jesus is the standard. And then concerning judgment, it is a lie that the evil one perpetrates on people's heart and mind. Well, you just do whatever you can in life, do what's best, and then at the end it's all over anyway. And what Jesus is saying, very powerful, the Spirit of God, using the Word of God, and impressing on people's heart, there is a judgment that's coming. There are consequences for rejecting Jesus. And that's the ministry of the Spirit in people's lives. And then finally, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. That's really my message every time I come here today, I have many more things to say to you, and we don't have the time to say them, Jesus said to that thing, well, you're not ready for everything I've got to say. When the Spirit of truth comes, he's talking about the Holy Spirit again, the one who is our helper, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. And that's the thing, if you were underlined, I would circle that. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. I've summarized that section in terms of Jesus helping us in a world that's gone wrong by reminding us that we do need hope, and we're going to be facing opposition in this world. There's a lot of hate in this world, but there is a helper that he is sending who will do so many things for us. But I want you to understand, this message is to remind you it's so important to keep the main thing the main thing. And what is the main thing? The main thing is to take Jesus and glorify him. It's the understanding. We have a singular message, and it's all about Jesus. We put this way in the purpose statement for our church. What is our purpose as a church? To honor God by helping more people become fully devoted followers of Christ. Because it's all about Jesus. It's not about us, it's about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, the reason why he's sometimes the forgotten God, because what's the Holy Spirit's role? Is to magnify Jesus, to make him the one that people look to. He is the singular person that we need to understand. This is God fully revealing himself in the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. And when we talk about Jesus, when that's our message, and that's what the Spirit wants to impress on our hearts and minds, then we're doing the main thing, glorifying, representing Jesus to people. What's the point this morning? I got 14 seconds. I might be a few seconds over time today. Because God wants us to realize that in the midst of a world that's gone wrong, we can have hope, even in a world that's filled with hatred, because we have help. And that help is found in the one, when we embrace Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he sends that helper into our lives, and he lives within us. He's always with us, and he allows us to speak the truth and keep the main thing the main thing. I put this in the so what statement at the end of the outline. In a world gone wrong, in the Spirit, we can help people know what is right. And what is right is to get into a right relationship with the one who can make all things right on the inside. The Bible says he made him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Our life can be made right when we know the one who is right. And not only does he clean up the sin that's in our life, he gives us the righteousness, the right things, that we can live in him and for him and through him by the power of the Spirit of truth who is sent for us to be in us and to empower us to be people of the truth. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that as we think about the message of Jesus, it's not to tell us that once we come to know Jesus, everything's going to be easy and simple and not filled with conflict and challenge. But because you love us, you prepare us to live a life that can be filled with the power and the presence of the living God. And the Spirit of God is the one who allows us and empowers us to be those kind of people. But Father, for that to happen, that we've got to make that first step of faith. We've got to come to a place in our life where we admit our need and turn from that which is wrong in our life. We need to come to that place where we really believe and trust that Jesus is who he claimed to be, and that when he died on the cross for our sins and rose again, he paid the penalty for our sin, what was not right in our life. And when we choose to commit to follow Jesus by simply believing and entrusting and depending upon him to be our Savior, our Lord, the leader of our life and the forgiver of our sins, then we become a child of yours. Father, we pray for anyone here this morning that hasn't made that step, that they wouldn't leave this place without talking to someone or just talking directly to you right now and say, Jesus, I want to know you. I want you to forgive me of my sins. I want to have you come into my life. I want to be a child of yours. And Father, for us who've already made that commitment, Father, we pray that we might be people who recognize as we live in a world filled with challenges, as we go through difficult times that rock our personal world, that in the midst of a world that is shaking all around us, that we have the one who is our rock, who is our foundation. And the Spirit that you've sent to us to live in us gives us all that we need to follow you faithfully. Help us to live that out by trusting you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen.